Yeah, I'm honored to have the privilege to come and share with you guys a little bit Friday night. I'm here for three events. The first one was Friday night, where at the Civic Center, we had kind of a youth, young adult rally, and people came out, and you know, we're going against football games here on Friday night. So I was like, Lord, bring 10 people. Just bring 10 kids, and I'll preach to them. And that place got packed. It was an outdoor, it was unbelievable. I was just shocked. And we shared and did some things, and God's Spirit moved, and we had between 50 to 60 people respond to Christ. And that's, yeah, the devil got a black eye that night. So we're here this morning with y'all, which I'm stoked. And then Tuesday, pray for me. I'm speaking over at the Ritz Carlton for a national Christian businessman's event. The Blackabees are there, Francis Chan, the founder of Annie's Pretzels, I think, the president of Barna Group, and a Cajun. So I don't know how they slipped me in there, but it'll be like, hey. but y'all pray for me Tuesday morning, please. So a little bit, we have such a short amount of time. There's so much I want to share. Our ministry is called All Things Possible. And for those of you who don't know, we did live on Oahu for years. We raised our first three kids, adult kids, on Oahu. We had a martial arts school at the Ward Warehouse underneath Spaghetti Factory. Some of you may remember that. Talk about temptation. Grind down. And but the Lord really blessed it. We live up on Tantalus and Round Top at the very top. We had a beautiful estate. And then God called us to full-time ministry. And, of course, we rebuked that thought right away. We were like, Lord, we're suffering pretty good up here. And, you know, there comes a time in our lives where Jesus says, don't just be a believer, be a disciple. And he'll challenge you. And it's never comfortable initially, but boy, it is a payday of your relationship with him. So he simply asked me, are you redeeming your time, your talent, and your treasures to the greatest extent for my kingdom? And I was like, no. I mean, I'm not going to lie to God. He's God. So he knows. But he called us, we responded, and we actually went on staff with Focus on the Family. For our first leg, and I had the privilege of being assistant to Dr. Dobson. And then God started doing a work in my heart, y'all. And that's a scripture I want to share with y'all this morning. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. Some of you know it, but it is a good scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7. Now, this is truth. There's a lot of philosophies in the world, but this is truth. And you got to live your life by the truth, not what you learn in college, not what your family says, not what the magazines read, and then so much of the TV, movies, or videos. You got to live by the truth of the Word of God. If you're doing anything else, you're in deep trouble. Because there come a day when all that other stuff will not sustain you. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, move to Maui, thus saith the... Sorry. So I just, honey, my beautiful wife is in the back right there, Eileen. She's going on this trip, and I thank God for her. But, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. That's why I love the cakey. They were talking about that today. But he's given us a spirit of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Some of you need a sound mind. I know I did. My eggs were scrambled pretty good because of my background. And just so I know, how many of you have not heard my testimony? Just raise your hand so I know. Okay, praise the Lord. All right. All right. I got to share a little bit, honey. For y'all to understand really the impact and why we, from Focus on the Family, started a ministry reaching incarcerated youth all across the country. That's what we do now. We've been doing it for 10 years, and it's crazy. Why would God call us to do that? Well, the Lord started working in my heart, and you know, sometimes, and we use a scripture, forgetting what lies behind, right? I press on. But a lot of times Christians use that as a cloak to say, I'm gonna press on, but I don't want to deal with that. And it still affects you, that. And you're, I'm gonna press on. The Lord says, no, be still. Let's bring truth into your past. And that's what happened to me in my mid-30s when the Lord started doing and stirring this work, and our first step of obedience to trusting him. And somebody asked me eventually, they said, hey, why don't you tell your story to a group of young people who are incarcerated, teenagers that are locked up? I was like, no. I don't want to go talk to no locked up teenagers. I said, what are they in there for? They said, rape, murder, drugs. I was like, you go do it. That ain't my ministry. Peace on you, brother. And yet the Holy Spirit kept convicting me, right? And I was like, oh, my goodness. And so I did. I went to this facility, and it's kind of scary, quite honestly. You walk in, the gates are going, kung, tch, like Maxwell Smart. Dun, 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 kung, kung. I was like, how we get out of here if something goes wrong? They're like, you ain't. You go in there, and then the guards, they don't even have guns. I'm like, you got mace or something? There's a lot of them. Not many of us. I'm all security-minded. They're like, well, just go to a corner if things get out of hand. So I can be trapped? It's like, no. They actually let me bring some of my martial arts stuff, and because the guy said, you look pretty nervous, why don't you do a little demonstration? And so I did a demonstration. And I do this thing where I twirl the nunchucks, you know, Bruce Lee made them famous, and I have somebody hold something in their hands and mouth, and you know, I was doing it years ago, all against Stephanie, way back in Vista in the 80s. And I never hit anybody. Until that day. I hit him good. I'm not going to lie. The things in his hands came out. Boom, boom. But when I went to hit the thing in his mouth, the pencil, my shoulder was messed up. When I swung, it popped out of joint. Just that much. I clipped him on his chin and split him wide open. For sure. And I was like, I never hit anybody, you know, unintentionally. I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't know what to say. And here's what's crazy. When I first walked up to them kids, you got 75 kids, hard kids. They look at me like this. You know, you better bring it. What you talking about? White Wonder Bread and bring it. And that was just the girls. And I was like, I'm going, man, it's a rough group. I ain't lying. But look here. I did that thing and swung and boom, hit that guy, split him open, he's bleeding. I mean, I sat there sick to my stomach and I was going, Lord, this is your plan? I come evangelize? I'm going to get arrested for assault? And yet, he can redeem even the crazy things, can he? Because look, when I turn and look at that group, all them hard kids like this, then they were like this. This dude's crazy. Okay, so they started calling me the karate preacher man. They were like, I'm gonna listen. And all of a sudden now I got the spirit of power on me. I'm walking around, somebody gonna get saved today. Now Barney Fife done come out. And I shared my story. I shared about how I was left for dead at 5 years old in a commercial cooler by a child molester. I shared how my biological dad was a drug dealer and a pimp, and he didn't claim me as his kid. When my mom was pregnant, he said, that ain't mine. I shared how my mom and got married 6 times. I went to 14 schools, 17 houses. And I understand rejection. I understand pain at the deepest level. When I shared with them kids, all I could tell them was the only hope I have is in the person of Jesus Christ, because he's able. And, you know, and them kids are scratching their heads. They're going, you get us. Or as they say, you feel me. I'm like, you know, I mean, And you ain't gotta be in a gang to feel pain, the deepest part of your soul. It can be from an affluent family that has a great pedigree, but there's still dysfunction in that because of the nature of man, sin. And you know what? I share with those kids, and I share with them how my grandfather died in a mental hospital, the same mental hospital my biological dad went to, and he was a practicing warlock. How's that? Well, you bring him to show and tell at school. My daddy. I'm from Louisiana, just in case y'all not know that. Sometimes I wonder, am I talking too fast? My mind, it goes real fast. When it comes out, it's like molasses. So I shared how my other grandfather is the one guy I looked up to, the one I respected. He was in law enforcement, badge and a weapon. I was like, yeah. And he was always cool to be around, but he had a temper. And his wife, his second wife, he said, you can leave me anytime you want. Just don't leave me for another man. And guess what? She cheated on him. He found her in public, walked up to her, pulled out his pistol and shot her in her head, and then killed himself. And that's my background. I told those kids I need to get away from my family. And I found an organization to take me in. And they gave me a place to stay, food to eat, and an M16. It's the United States Marine Corps. They gave me a weapon. I was like, can I shoot people? And they're like, son, you got issues, don't you? Yes, sir. And they're like, okay, come on in. And hey, that was post-Vietnam. We were hurting for Marines. And now, you know, they're all squared away. But, but you know, I got in the Marine Corps, and I was training and fighting, and, you know, I had a short fuse. And I did use that weapon as a means to feel power for people who shoot 546 yards or 5.5 football field lengths. I could put 10 rounds on the able target of a man without a scope. I became a competitive shooter, and then I started training guys and doing my career in martial arts, or working with guys. I've worked with Delta Force, SEAL team operators. I've trained CIA. It's God allowed me to use my skill sets to help in that way. But I was still empty. That's a crazy thing. But no matter how bad you think you want to get, because there's a difference, and I speak to the guys here. So many young men miss it because they listen to the things of this world and they think to be a man, you got to get hard. And that's how I talk to them kids in prison. I go, don't get hard, just get tough. You need to be tough in this world because it will eat you alive, right? But when you start getting hard, you compensate, you bow up, you all. It's like, hey, calm down. And I'll tell you what, they get that because it's truth. And I talk to them about purity too. I talk about purity. The kids locked up. I tell kids, hey, look here. I remember I was in L.A., largest juvenile system in the world, 33,000 cases a year in one county. Wow. One county. Wow. They gave me full access because I spoke at a mayor's prayer breakfast, and the head superior judge over them all said, you want to get in our juvenile prisons? Go. I was like, hee. I never forget telling them guys, hey, let me tell you something, the way God designed it, intimacy, sex between a husband and a wife in marriage. I even talk about this in public schools. I do public school assemblies. They bring me in as an inspirational speaker. Look here, I'll bait the hook any way I can to get in. Who cares, you know? That movie poster, you don't think that's embarrassing? I mean, I'm like, my staff and wife's like, honey, just you got to do the deal so we can get in. I was like, yeah, okay. But listen, I tell them about purity. I said, husband and wife. I said, what if everybody, I tell this to the kids, public school, youth prison, and even Christian schools, which can be worse than any of them. I call them Christian prisons for kids. Parents are saying, fix them, fix them. You know what? I tell them, if everybody obeyed just one commandment, that, how would our world look different? These hard kids sitting there, you know, of course they're like, hey, this player got a share his love. I tell him, hey, girls, if it's so great, why is one in four girls sexually active have an STD in high school? And he gets quiet. I'm going to just talk about truth. I said, there's consequences for going outside the best plan possible, a husband and a wife in marriage. I tell them, you wouldn't have to experience your dad not being there because he jumped the fence and left and sleeping with other people. Your dad would be at your home. You never experienced the pain of listening to your parents fight because of cheating. I said, you never have to experience hearing your mom walk in drunk with another dude from a club, and all you want to do is go in there and stab him with a knife because you know it's wrong. And I told 2,000 kids just a couple of weeks ago, I said, let me tell you something. You know my background, and I'm telling you, I stand here today, and I obeyed that one thing. Because when I met my wife, we looked at each other, and we had backgrounds. Mine was really bad. Hers was a little bit. But we decided, as new Christians, we were not going to be intimate until marriage. So we got married fast. I'm not going to lie. Why wait? I was like, yeah, here, right now. But I tell those kids, I go, look here, I stand before you. You know my background. I'm the first person in three generations to never cheat, never be cheated on, never get a divorce. And we're celebrating 25 years this year. I love my wife. I'm not kidding you. And you know something? Those kids get it. Just like y'all applauded, they applaud. Kids in prison, hard gang members. Kids in public school, I say, you know why you're applauding? Because it's big enough for your heart. It's real. And you know what? God, he helped me to speak to those kids in prison and get over that sense of fear, right? And when I shared my story and I gave them an opportunity to respond, 53 of the 75 kids gave their life to Christ. I was so shocked, I had them stand. And I said, wait, okay, sit back down. I don't know if y'all understood me. I said, you can't get out. He set you free on the inside. Not free on the, not right now. And I said, okay, let me do this again. Maybe that was, you know, and there ain't no music. There's no dim lights. It's just concrete floor. And I said, okay, I'm going to say this again. You give up, you repent, you surrender. I give them the very strict gospel, what it is, God's love. But, hey, you follow Jesus with everything because that's how I believe we should. Yeah. Well, you want a half step it. He give you salvation for eternity, and yet you're going to live life like this. I don't want to follow them all the way, just getting to heaven. Why? Run the race. Sweat. And 53 of those kids stood up again. How are you going to get a Blood, a Crip, a Mexican Mafia? How are you going to get them to stand up and say, hey, I want that? It's the power of God's Spirit. I walked over to the warden. I said, hey, does this happen all the time? This is kind of crazy. He had tears coming down his face. He said, Victor, he said, I've been praying somebody would be able to come in and touch these kids. He said, it's you. And I was like, oh, no. Let me go back over here. And people say, how do you know that this is what God called you to do? And I'm going to tell you, 3 months earlier, my wife and I on a date. Date night. Gals, date night's good, right?
Yes.
Hey, look at the guys. Funny man, you had us till that. Throw us underneath the bus. No, I'm just gently reminding you, brother, gently reminding you. Dust off that romantic stuff you used. Put some of that dust on you. Take your woman out. Love her. Give her some flowers. Go buy her a dress. We were out the someplace, and I'm walking around with my wife, going shopping for a little dress. I think we went into, was it Cinnamon Girl or somewhere? I don't know. It was a bunch of them shops. And You know, sometimes you just got to die to yourself, fellas. Crucified old man. I sat there. She gets a little dress. It was so pretty. And this little girl helping us, this sweet little girl helping us. At the end, my wife, she pulls out of her purse a copy of our film. It's a testimony film, right? She tells the girl, she goes, hey, we want you to have this. This is a story of my husband and his life story. And she goes, you're Victor Marks, aren't you? It was the third person that day who I talked to in one shopping center that said, are you Victor Marks? I came and saw you or heard about it or whatever. And this girl says, my friend called me and she said she went to your event last night and heard you speak and got a copy of your film and she stayed up all night watching it. She said she told me all about it and made me cry. And she said, I wanted to go so bad. I said, you know, God loves you so much, girl, that he'd bring us right here to give you a copy and just to show you his love. Y'all, she started tearing up. But that's how God is, huh? He's personal like that. He's so personal like that. Well, 3 months earlier, before I go into youth prison, we're out on a date night. We're cruising and we're leaving the mall. Sorry, you know, budgetary restraints. And we're up at a light. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, right? But a power, love. When you got God's love on you, it'll overcome fear. Next to us, a car pulls up again. Mom, you could tell. They boom, boom. It's a count. You just look forward. Like, I don't want beef. I just, ooh, la, 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 praise the Lord. And I really, I heard the Holy Spirit say, share me with them. I was like, let's turn up the worship music and let it go out the window. Just let Chris Tomlin minister to them right now. I'll turn it louder. The Lord said, come on. I was like, ooh. And you know how you know it's the Holy Spirit? Because he doesn't drive you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. The Holy Spirit will lead you. If you're driven, you better watch yourself because that's the enemy. The enemy will drive you because of your past. You are dirty. You are shameful. And he drives you to. You cannot speak about God because you know your sin. And at a certain point, you just got to stop and go, well, the cross is good enough for it all, Satan, or none of it. And I believe the truth. The blood of Jesus cleansed me from all unrighteousness, all of it, all my past, all of it, all of it. So therefore, I'm made righteous before Christ. I'm just saying, shut your mouth. That's a Cajun Greek translation of that scripture. But sometimes you just got to, And I said, okay, Lord, here we go. I said, honey, the Lord's telling me to. And my wife, she is a godly, I'm telling you, she's the most godly person I know that I've ever met. And I live with her. And it's both a blessing and a challenge. Because she challenges me all the time. Here's my wife at that light. She goes, okay, then share. She rolls down the window. She goes, You know, what's funny, though, is she was pregnant with our fourth baby. She had a big bubble belly, so it was like this. So I bumped the horn, the guy. He turns on the music, he looks up, he goes, here I am. Pull over, I want to talk to y'all. I mean, how do you break that? The guy looks at me and goes, he turns his music back up. I was like, Lord, your servant was willing. Bless me now. And again, I could tell the Holy Spirit saying, no, you can do better than that. And I was like, oh. I bumped the horn. The guy finally goes, what? You know, I know how to be naughty. You know, so I said, hey, pull over, man. He said, I ain't pulling over. I said, what, you afraid of me? Afraid of an old man? He looked up. And then here I am in my minivan. Hey, my factory tent, though, that was kind of made me look tough. I get out. My wife is praying, Lord Jesus, help Victor. Just help him. I get out. Four guys come out the car. I think it was four. They come out, and here they come at me, and I'm like, Lord, give me something now. And I remembered looking in the back seat. One of the guys had a big knife, a big balisong knife, a butterfly knife. I was like, they're packing too, Lord. Oh, gosh. And they come at me, and all I could think of, kind of self-defense mode, I said, hey, stop. I saw you. You had a knife in the back seat. And they all stopped for it. They paused for a second. He goes, well, you a cop, man? And I was like, man, I started really thinking. I was a cross guard guy one time in third grade. I had a vest and a whistle. I don't know. I said, no, I ain't a cop. I said, I'm a master martial arts, though. And I want to show you how to open and close that the right way. And the guy was like, you crazy. I said, no. Right now, I said, I've trained over 30 world champions. One of the national champs is one of my black belts. I'm much older than you. He goes, all right. So he went in the back seat, grabbed this knife. He comes back right here in the middle of the parking lot. And he gives it to me. I took it, and I started doing a demonstration. Trolling, flipping, and then I suck him in his neck. Now what? No. I didn't stick him in his neck. That so impedes the witnessing process. So no, don't stab people. That's not nice. I shared Jesus with them. I said, let me tell you why, the real reason I pulled you over, to tell you about the master that I serve. And I shared a little bit of my story. And, you know, three of those boys let me pray with them right underneath the light. And here's what's the amazing thing is right there, oh, it's so great. All of a sudden, a kid from the street comes up. He got big hair. It's waving. He walks up to me, and he starts cussing me. And then he comes at me. They actually have to grab him. They're saying, hey, this dude's okay, man. This dude's okay. I'm like, yeah, grab him. He's crazy. And, you know, the devil will use people. He will use people to try to get to you. How could it go from so bad to so good to so bad like that? Because there's always a war going on. It is a battle. And if you don't believe it, you're losing already. Period. And they grabbed that. I said, dude, what you so angry about? I ain't angry. Well, you've got a condo on the island of denial. I said, listen. I'm sorry. Crazy things go through my head in situations. They make me laugh inside. But I told him, I said, hey, man, God loves you. God loves you. He said, don't tell me about God. God can't love me. If you knew my background, he started screaming. I said, look, the way you feel, what you've experienced, it doesn't change the truth. I like how my mama says, Victor, you got to believe truth over facts. You'll be thinking about that later. It's a Cajun wisdom, my little mama. You got to believe truth with a capital T over the facts of your life. Oh, Lord, I believe truth. I said, man, he stomped off. I got in the car. We prayed. My wife said, hi. And every time I thought about him, we'd pray. Now, fast forward 3 months, I'm in that juvenile prison, right? First one I've ever been to, 12 in the noon check, boom, boom, boom. Guy bleeding, 53 kids give their life to Christ. Guess who's there? The big-headed kid, big hair flying. He was on the back row, and I was like, oh. And when I gave opportunity to respond to Christ, guess who lifted his hand? And guess who stood? That kid. And we handed out Bibles that day, and some of the kids want you to sign in the Bible, right? And I got to him on the back row, and he used on my Bible. I said, yeah, man. I said, hey, you remember me? He goes, yeah. I said, I remember you. Look who's in the jail now. Look who's in the jail. I did not do that. Funny, but I didn't do it. I said, buddy, I just got to ask you, why today? Why today you surrender your life? He looked at me and said, mister, you said that Jesus would live his life in and through me. And he said, I'm tired of living my life for myself. I said, wow. There's some Christians I don't need to remember that. You guys, we've had the privilege to share with tens to thousands of kids. I've spoken to more of our nation's hardest and most troubled youth in the country, top 35% chronic violent offenders. Not only did we do a film, we did a book. And to date, we've handed out over 40,000 copies to kids. And I got a letter I wrote this kid. I write kids when they write me. We've got over 5,000 letters in our library back at our office. And, hey, you write a kid back? You think that means a lot? That's a huge touch. I just got this one. I wrote the kid on the airplane over here. He said, Dear Victor Marks, my name is Matthew. My age is 13. I'm in Southwest Juvenile Hall. I'm here for first-degree murder. But I read your book, and it inspired me to give my life to God. He said, you came to spread God's word, and I thought you were lying about God. My life has been a lot like yours, even though I'm so young. Well, I hope you write me back soon, and thank you for sharing your story with me. You guys, you never know. Just sharing what the Lord with whoever, however. And you know what? God's using my story and the film, and we've made it real nice so that it's an easy thing, and it's now in 15 languages. It's been shown on 4 networks. And when we premiered it at theaters in different parts of the opening premiere night, it outsold all the other movies, including Hunger Games. Come on. Yeah, people were freaking out, going, what's this about? Just watch it. And I hope that you guys utilize it as a tool. It's now uploaded to YouTube, which our distributors can't stand, but we don't care. Over 60,000 people watched it on YouTube in the short time it's been there. And you know who we get the most comments from? Atheist. Atheist. They go, I'm an atheist. But man, deep respect, bro. It's crazy. Go look at the comments. I'm like, one atheist said, oh, I couldn't stop watching it. I was like, yeah. But you guys, would you like to see the opening clip? I know I'm a couple of minutes over. Would you like to see the opening scene? Okay, if we could, let's... I talked to my wife. I said, let's do a little opening scene and make it where we can kind of hook a teenager in prison or anybody watching it. So my wife, she's here. She's a black belt as well. You can imagine how that goes in our home. So, are we ready? One floor.
I'll get it. Give me your money and the lady too.
Buddy, you can have the money, but I don't think you want the lady. No, honey, that's not what I meant. No, honey, I wasn't meaning that in a derogatory. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
What do you think this is, a joke? I said give me your money.
You sure this is what you want?
What do you think?
With the lady. All right. So the Lord has really blessed the film. It's a documentary film. And you guys, the great part about it all is how I came to faith in 1986. While I was still in the Marine Corps, I got a letter from my biological dad, drug dealing pimp warlock guy. And he said, I know you think I'm crazy, son. And we never really had a relationship, but he said, I'm crazy this time for Jesus Christ. and God saved my dad. He came back into my life, and it was through him that I gave my life to Christ. We were able to capture it on film, interviews with my biological dad, and it was wonderful because, you know, he's it's just amazing. And God kept him and sustained him and then brought him home this year in February, which is, it's been hard, but it's been good. Amen? I'm glad heaven is real. So what does God want to do in your life? Where does he want to take you from this point on? You know, I'll say this, repentance is very important, whoever you are. Repenting of sin, repenting of what you know is wrong. You don't have to try to figure everything out, but God's a holy God. He's loving, but he's holy. And you have to confess your sin before him and then cleansed of it. And then let him put his spirit in you. If you're a believer, you got to get renewed. If you got unforgiveness in your past, you need to forgive. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping it kills that person that you're bitter against. They won't do nothing but destroy you. And God is able, because you know why? He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, even for our enemies, and a sound mind. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for today. Lord, we love you. And really, we love you because you first loved us. And that's truth. God, I pray for every person here. Or there may be some that simply don't know you. They go to church, or maybe they're invited here, but they don't know you. God, I pray by the power of your spirit, you're already drawing them. I pray you do a work in their life. If that's you and you say, Victor, I feel like God is drawing me right now and I need to surrender my life to him. I need to ask for forgiveness of what I've done wrong. And I need to accept his love for me. If that's you, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. If that's you, I want to know who you are. Would you lift your hand up real high so I can see you? Anyone here this morning, lift your hand up. God bless you and you and you and you in the back. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Who else? Lift your hand up and put it down. God bless you, buddy, and you and you and you and you and you. God bless you, man. You sense God's drawing you. You know what you should do? Respond. Surrender. That's the best choice. Who else? Victor, it's me. God's drawing me. Pray for me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Raise your hand and show me. I'm going to pray for you. God bless you, buddy, and you, sir. God bless you right here. Praise the Lord. This is good. God bless you, sweetie. God bless you, sweetie. Praise the Lord. You know Jesus loves you. You know Jesus loves you. You can trust him because your relationship will be based on love. God bless you both right there, and God bless you. Anyone else? This is good. You can sense God's spirit drawing you. You don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid anymore. You can trust God. Even though you've had bad experiences of maybe dads in your life that represent God, no dice. Father, big dad in heaven, God bless you, young lady, is a loving dad. He cares for you. He cares for you. Anyone else, pray for me, Victor. I need to surrender my life to Christ today, this morning, right now. Anyone else? Okay. Praise the Lord. If you're here as a Christian and God has really stirred something in your mind about unforgiveness, you've been burnt by someone in your past, you need to forgive them. It is a command. It's not an option. Look, if I can forgive a guy who abused me and locked me in a cooler for dead, God will give you the strength to forgive the people that have hurt you. Whether it be a parent, an ex, somebody in ministry or whatever, you got to let that go because it is driving you. There's no peace in your life. You know it. You act like it, but you know there is no real peace. That blockage in your heart, the part of your soul that you're keeping all bound up, God's Spirit can't come to you and fill that area. And he wants to with love and peace. And he'll give you a sound mind when you do that. If God's speaking to your heart, I'll pray for y'all. Lift your hand real high. God bless all of you. It's always like this. God bless all of you. Praise the Lord. Good. Good. Freedom. That hand means freedom. And the Lord will do the work. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. Anyone else before we close in prayer? Anyone else? Victor, pray for me. God bless you. God bless all of you. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for what you've done this morning here. Thank you that my story is just a story of what you've done in one man's life. But everybody here has stories, a testimony. We can give testimony to what you've done in our life, regardless of our background. Father, I pray for those who need to surrender to you. I pray you'd fill them with your spirit. They would know that they are forgiven and that they're loved and you care. You care greatly about every part of their life. Father, I pray for those believers right now who struggle with unforgiveness, God. I pray that you would empower them. Lord, you would show them as an act of the will. And Lord, because of the choice, you will give them the power and the love to stay in that place of peace. If you raise your hand to receive Christ, say this prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you, but just say this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. I'm sorry for my wrong. Cleanse me of all my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I make you my Lord and my Master for your glory and my salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys, praise the Lord. This is good.